Father, thank you for this time that we're able to come and to open your word. Lord, I pray very specifically and intentionally that you speak to our hearts. Lord, put your words in my mouth. Lord, let us hear from you and you only. Father, help us to understand, to be able to apply your word and the principles that we're talking about today directly to our lives, so that our lives will be different, not because of us, but because of the power that you give us to live. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we continue talking about this idea of expecting the harvest, of sowing and reaping, and we'll finish that up next week in a brief presentation, and then we'll be together next week for our Vision Sunday during our service, and so it'll be a special time. Make sure that you're here, and we'll have some time of dreaming a little bit about the vision that God has given us for 2020 and then even beyond, and so we'll talk about that in the context of the budget presentation for next year and the things that are going on. So today we're talking about sowing and reaping, continuing what we introduced last week. Last week, if you weren't here, which, you know, sometimes happens, I understand. We don't take roll, but if you're not here next week, I know who you are. No, so we have, last week we talked about this idea of the tithe, to tithe or not to tithe. And really, we looked at some attitudes toward the tithe. We looked at this idea that some people think we're still obligated for the tithe. Some people think that we're not obligated to the tithe. And really, both of those are kind of an irrelevant attitude. It's really a privilege to get to come and to walk with God in the way that He expects us to be the manager of His resources. The steward of His resources. The steward simply means manager. And we get this picture and this vivid picture from Scripture that we are to be the stewards of the resources that He has given us because He owns everything. Amen? Can we get to the point where we understand that it's all His anyway? And if we understand that properly from the beginning, then we can start to understand what role we play in this conversation. In this conversation, He has given us to just simply manage the resources. Now, there are principles that He's given us in His Word considering finances or considering His resources. One of the main principles that He's given us is this idea of sowing and reaping. It comes from an agricultural standpoint. How many of you are farmers or knew a farmer at one time? Okay. So this idea of sowing and reaping is really an agricultural concept. You take a seed, you sow it into the ground, meaning you plant it into the ground, and over a period of time, it comes back and reaps a harvest. Whatever that seed is going to grow and to come up and prosper and to provide the fruit of whatever is in that seed. And so this is the concept that the Lord gives us as we look at Scripture today concerning this idea of the resources in which He's given us. We can apply directly what we see in the natural world to our spiritual conversation when it comes to stewardship. Now, some people kind of get a little burr under their saddle when we talk about money in the church or we talk about finances. Well, I'm just going to tell you in a very pastorly way, get over it, okay? Because this is something that God has talked about time and time and time again in Scripture. But He talks about it, and we're given this picture of discipleship, of stewardship and discipleship. They're kind of interchangeable. We understand that we're to grow as we accept Christ as our Savior. We understand that we're in a relationship with Him now, that He's the boss, we're not, that His principles will now rule our lives. And so we have to understand what He teaches and how as we continue to live, His principles that He's teaching us to live by. One of those main areas of our life, I mean, you understand, one of the main areas in our life that we have to work and we have to live in is the area of our finances. It's the area of our resources. Now, if it's one of the main areas of our lives in the natural world as we walk and we work and we live and we do what God has called us to do, then don't you think that God has something to say about one of the main activities and areas of our life? Yeah, of course He does. And so today we're talking about that principle of stewardship, but it's really in the context of our walk with Him, of our discipleship journey. Now, last night we met with our small group, and some of you are in here, and you can tell them if I'm lying, but we talked about the fourth beatitude. The fourth beatitude, which is, blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. If you're here today and you're kind of like, well, if we're going to talk about God's resources today, well, that leaves me out of this conversation because I don't have much money. So if I don't have much money, then that conversation really doesn't apply to me. That's what I used to think as a kid, sitting in church over here when the pastor started talking about stewardship, that I could just kind of tune it out and not listen anymore. But that's not what God's word and expectation is for our lives. Because when we're talking about the resources that God is giving us, there's three areas I like to break them down in: time, treasure, and talent. And so there's three areas as that we're stewarding God's resources. He's given us the gift of time. And so we are stewards or managers of our time according to God. And so how do we steward our time? Are we involved in the activities that God would have us involved with? Are we doing the things that God has called us to do? Are we spending so much time in legitimate pleasures and sports and different activities but are those things taking away from what God has called us to do? And we have to ask those questions relevant to our time. To our talent, those things that He's called us to do, the gifts, the talents that He's given us, are we applying those to the kingdom purposes? Are we allowing God to use those in the midst of the kingdom and in advancement of the kingdom? And so these are questions that we have to ask. But when it comes to treasure, we don't like to talk about that because it gets so... Right, when we talk about money... There's this direct link from my wallet to my heart. Right? Can you relate? And so from my wallet to my heart. And so the way I spend money, the way I think about money, it's so innate in me that I want to protect it, that I want to spend energy and resources around just my money. And so it becomes very personal to me and probably to many of you as well when we start talking about money. But God knows that. You remember the words of Jesus in the Scriptures. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so this shouldn't come as a wonder that when we talk about our wallets, that it's kind of doing something and stirring up something in our heart. This is the way that He's designed it. It is one of the most impactful ways that we can tell where our relationship is with Him. As we're walking with Him, as we're walking through life and we're dealing with God and we're trying to apply His principles to our life. But then when we come to this area of finances, because it's so directly tied to our heart, we can tell if we're really growing or not. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. We're not. We're imperfect beings. But He does expect us to be hungering and thirsting after Him. And so Jesus said in the fourth beatitude, blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Not those who have arrived or those who are perfect, because that leaves me out of the equation. There's areas in this idea of stewardship that I've messed up. In my past, I've messed up. I'm sure I'm going to mess up in my future. There's things God's dealing with me even right now. But this is one of the areas of discipleship that is so important to us, that we understand how we're walking and we're on the journey. We understand that through these negative emotions of greed, of pride, of selfishness, of these things that are applied directly toward our wants and the way that we're walking and the way that we're living. It's a clear indicator, red flag warnings all over the place, that maybe something's not right in the heart. And God uses this area of stewardship to help us to understand these things. So this is relevant for each of us who call on the name of Jesus as our Savior. For each of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, this is an important conversation that we have. In this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll invite you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to talk today about how to be a happy sower. How to be a happy sower. Some of you have heard that God loves a cheerful giver, right? Right? And sometimes we're cheerful when we give, and sometimes we're not. That's just part of the nature and part of our walking with Him and understanding. There's a process to this, and a process that God is trying to work out in our hearts and in our lives. And the way that He can do that is through our stewardship of the resources that He's given us. So the first thing I want you to see in this passage today as we look at the Scripture is... My clicker's not working. You're going to have to advance. Everyone sows something. So as we look at this passage, beginning in verse 6 of chapter 9, everyone sows something. Everyone sows something. The question is, how much? How much is being sown? In verse 6, we learn, the point is this, as Paul talks about this instruction to the Corinthian church. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What's he talking about here? We have dropped right in the middle of a conversation that Paul is having to the Corinthian church. A year ago, Paul, before he wrote this letter, a year ago, Paul was at the Corinthian church, and he came up with this idea and explained it to about how he was going to go around and we were going to all participate in an offering together. All the believers around the region, around the world, really, at that point, were going to participate in an offering that he would take back to the saints in Jerusalem. There were some things going on in Jerusalem. There were things, needs that weren't being met. There were things that they could help with. And the Corinthian church got so excited about the opportunity to participate in this offering a year ago. So then Paul kind of continues on his ministry, and while he's in the Macedonian area, while he's talking to the churches at Macedonia, if you go back a chapter, you can read some of the backstory. Probably some word comes to Paul that maybe there's some shakiness to the excitement. Maybe there wasn't so much excitement anymore as to the offering that was going to be gathered. And so Paul took this as an opportunity to teach them about this idea of being generous, generosity of stewarding God's resources. And so you think that sometimes you feel uncomfortable the subject of money's being brought up. Well, this isn't anything new. This is something that Paul was dealing with in the first century. And so he says, the point is this, talking about this offering, it's whoever sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. There's this principle of sowing and reaping that is applied to God's resources that Paul is trying to help them understand. And this idea of the harvest, we know that there are principles of the harvest that we can understand of the seed and the sower and what is sown, how it's going to come into harvest. There's seven principles, and this is found in many books and many areas of Scripture, and it's kind of consolidated into this list of seven. Number one, we reap only what has been sown, right? Can't reap what hasn't been sown. Duh. I mean, Captain Obvious here. So we can't reap what hasn't been sown. We only reap what is sown. But here's the thing you need to understand. It's not only you that is sowing. Think about this. We are reaping the benefit of seeds that were sown in faith of generations gone by. In 2003, when we came here, when my family came here, and we became members of this church had come to this property only a year. And so it used to be on the old, we'd call it the old church, over on the other side of town. Some of you were there. And so the seeds that you and many in that congregation sown for now, we're even experiencing the benefits of today. We're in this building because the seeds that have been sown in the past that we experience today. And you know what? There is a generation that's coming behind us, that's coming after us, that's going to experience the benefit of the seeds that we sow today. And so we understand that we can only experience the harvest from seeds that are sown, whether we're the ones doing the sowing or not. Sometimes we reap the benefit of that even when we have nothing to do with it. And that's something that I'm even experiencing today in my family and my life. The seeds that were sown into my life as a young person were prayers of my grandmother. As she prayed for my brother and I as we were growing up, and that we would walk with the Lord, that we would remain faithful, that we would make good decisions, that would glorify God, that would keep us out of trouble, right? And so these prayers that she offered up on our behalf are still coming true today. The way that she sowed these principles into my life and helped us to understand right from wrong, we're doing the same things today, sowing seeds into the next generation and beyond. And so parents, grandparents, we have this opportunity. We have this responsibility to sow seeds of faith in the generations that are coming behind us that we will possibly not even see come to fruition, come to harvest. But God has called us to sow the seed of faith. So we understand we reap only what has been sown. We reap the same kind of seed that's sown. And so we don't plant apple trees and expect orange trees to grow up, right? Whatever type of seed we plant, that which we're going to get back. And so when we plant good seed, positive seed, seed that's glorifying to God, well, we can expect a good return. We plant seed that is, well, not according to God, not according to His ways, not according to His principles, then we're surprised that we're not experiencing the blessing that God has promised. That doesn't make any sense, does it? We experience the same kind of harvest of the seeds that we plant. Number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. It's always delayed. As the seed is planted, it grows up after a period of time. Some seeds grow faster than others as God has designed, but as we sow a seed, we expect a harvest, but it's always later than what we've sown. We have a problem with that, don't we? I mean, I know some of you are with me through one and two, but number three, you lost you. Because we're the microwave generation. I mean, we're used to putting our food in the microwave, hitting a button, and it's done in a minute or two, right? I mean, we expect immediate impact, immediate gratification on the things that we are doing and the seeds that we are sowing. And that's just not in God's design. God's design, He works on a different timetable, but His timetable is always best for us. For us. And so we always reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We understand that as we sow, and you can take an apple. How many of you like apples, right? You take an apple, you cut it in half, and you can start to count the seeds that are in the apple, right? And you can, some apples have more seeds than others. But how can you count the apples that are in a seed? Only God can do that. Only God knows His multiplication timetable. Only He knows what's the possibility and the potential in a seed, but it's always greater than what is planted. And so we trust God in that. We reap more than we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We see that in the verse that we're looking at. We reap in proportion to what we sow. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. To sow, it's simple. It's an extension of extending forth. The sower reached into his bag, the farmer, and would sow the seed. It would extend out his hand, and that's really what the means to sow is, to extend one forth. And as he would extend his hand out and release the seed into the area in which he was planting, if he grabbed a lot of seed and planted liberally, then he would have a liberal crop. But if he took a seed and put one here and one here and one here, well, that's the kind of crop he's going to get back. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. We reap the full harvest of the good. And I say dot, 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 because how many of you are gardeners? Anybody gardeners? Anybody planted a garden before? Okay, so when you plant a garden, something comes up in the garden that you didn't plant. And what are those? Weeds, yes, absolutely. We're all too familiar with weeds, aren't we? I mean, come on. Right? And who put that there? Well, we always know that when something is planted, there's going to be bad that grows up with the good. That's a net, that's a harvest, a law of the harvest. And so we understand that as we sow the seed, there's going to be some things we didn't expect to happen as we sow that seed. But we understand the law of the harvest, that this is going to happen. And the last one is we can't change last year's harvest. It's already done. Sometimes we get stuck in this kind of rut and thinking about the past, and if I woulda, coulda, shoulda, then I'd change some of those things that I did in the past. Well, that's great. If you think about those things as evaluation, kind of an after-action report, like the military does, you have an after-action report to the good things and the bad things and leave the bad things and redo the good things. Well, sometimes that's good, but when you dwell in the past and stay in the past and complain about the past and do, that's not healthy. What God wants us to do is to trust Him. Even in spite of the failures in the past, in spite of the bad decisions we made in the past, in spite of the mistakes that we may have made in the past, we need to trust Him as we walk into the future. This is something that God is trying to help us to understand as we walk with Him. And this great area of our resources, the resources that He's given us, this is an area where we can understand how to trust Him. It's not necessarily always walking by sight. It's walking by faith. And in this area, this is where God can teach us the greatest lesson as we walk with Him and allow Him to be the Lord of our lives. The second thing I want you to see today from this passage is the reason for sowing is given to us as we meet with the Lord. The reason for sowing is given to us as we meet with the Lord. What does that mean? Well, here's something that you and I are good at. Some of us are better than others, but we all try to. We all try to solve problems. We all try to solve our own problems. And the worst thing that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ is to try to solve our problems without meeting with the Lord first. In our discipleship journey and walking with Him and growing in faith, He wants us to meet with Him. He wants us to talk with Him. He wants us to plan with Him. He wants us to process things with Him by His Word and through prayer. And as we do that, we begin to understand His heart, we begin to understand His likes and His dislikes, His passions and His desires. But when we don't, we want to try to solve our problems our own way. We want to try to do the things that we think and the world says to do to answer the things that are coming across our life. Then we get out of sorts and we get off the discipleship journey. We're not growing with the Lord anymore. And we kind of, let's just be honest. In my own experience, that's when I really mess things up. Is when I haven't met with the Lord and we're trying to do things in my own power, and in my own way. And so we see the reason for sowing is given to us as we meet with the Lord. Then we can be generous. Then we can be cheerful. Then we can understand His heart for His resources. Verse 7 says this: each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Not reluctantly or out of obligation. For God loves a cheerful giver. So we're looking at the matter of the heart, aren't we? When we talk about this idea of resources, of being a steward, we're really talking about heart management, about understanding what's going on in our heart. And we can't do that ourselves, but as we meet with the Lord, as each one has decided in their own heart, we've got to meet with God and talk about our heart, talk about these issues, talk about these things in direction that God is taking us. And if God is taking us in these directions, not getting ahead of Him or lagging behind Him, but being right square in the middle of His will, then we can make decisions that are favorable to us and favorable to the advancement of the kingdom of God. But it's when we leave Him out of the equation and we begin to make decisions ourselves based upon our own understanding, our own will, our own power, that's when we get into trouble as disciples of Christ. That's when we get off track on this journey of stewardship and on this journey of discipleship. And so this isn't just a talk about money. This isn't just principles about governing your finances. This is about the way that you're walking with the Lord. Are you truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after His principles in your life? Because only then are you going to be satisfied. When you're not hungering and thirsting after Him, well, then what are you hungering and thirsting after? Where is your appetite? What are you leaning toward? And what is driving the condition, the passions of your heart? If it's not God, then we're off track. When greed or selfishness or self-centeredness, covetousness, when these are the things that we experience when we start talking about the wallet, that's a red flag warning. Something is not right. Something is not right. When we start to think about and walk in ways that, as God is being gracious and blessing us, that we look for ways to in turn bless others, then we start to think, you know what? God is doing a work in my life and in my heart, and I get to do that in other people's lives and other people's hearts. As God works in me, He can work through me, but not until He works in me. As each one has decided in their heart, not out of reluctance, not out of obligation, Then we can understand what cheerful giving, what cheerful stewardship is all about. What does it mean to meet with the Lord? In the context of this passage, in the context of what we're talking about here, it means that we have to meet with Him. We have to ask Him through prayer and through time with Him about His priorities and His plans. Not so that we can tell Him what's important to us, so that He can tell us what's important to Him. The direction and the path that He would have us follow. Let's pray and we meet with Him and we're sincerely walking with Him and we give Him open view of our heart and the things that are in here, the passions of our heart. We begin to design that to match His. And once that happens, once we ask about His plans and priority, then we ask how He wants us to participate in those plans. It's very simple. After we understand what He wants us to do, then we ask how we need to participate. In what ways do we need to manage Your resources, God, so that we can participate in what You called us to do? The advancement of the kingdom, the blessing of others, whatever it is. Whether it be our time, our talent, and our treasure. And as we understand that, we've met with Him, we understand His plans and His priorities, we ask Him how to participate in those, then we simply obey. We obey His leading in the areas of the three T's. You all know what the three T's are? Time, talent, treasure. Time, talent, treasure. These are the resources that God has given us to steward, to manage. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. And so as we prayed, we spent time with Him concerning these things. We understand His plan. We understand how He wants to participate, how He wants us to manage those resources. Then we're obedient to that. And then as we're obedient, we trust. We trust. We trust that His leading will result in His harvest. And sometimes His harvest, here's where we get into some sticky situations, is when His harvest doesn't necessarily match up with my convenience, with my blessing, with my enlarging my wallet, enlarging my house, enlarging my the cars in my driveway, whatever it is. when it doesn't necessarily materialize into my blessing, but materializes in the blessings of others? How's our heart toward that? And when we can answer that question in an affirmative way, positive way, in a cheerful way, then we understand where we're at on the discipleship journey. But if we can't answer it in a cheerful way, wanting to lean into what God has called us to do, and we're like holding back and hesitant and reluctant and out of obligation and feel all these negative emotions and feeling what God is calling us to do, red flag warning. Red flag warning. We're not where we need to be. There's a condition or something wrong with the heart. And we need to get with God. We need to ask for forgiveness and repentance. Mourn over our sin. We need to allow and submit to His will again. And then we're ready to hunger and thirst after righteousness again, applying His principles to our life and to the way that we live. It's a very simple process, but it's profound in the way that it's applied, especially in this area of resources. So we meet with Him and talk about His priorities and His plans. Here's something that's funny. We talked about this in the finance committee this week. I love dealing with our finance team. Some of you are in here. And our finance team, they are some of the most amazing people, really, that God has brought to First Baptist Church of Palm Coast. Some of the most faith-filled people. And really, concerning prayer and concerning seeking God's wisdom and God's way, this is something that the finance team is really concerned about. And so meeting and talking about His priorities and plans, and then participating in that. How are we going to participate in those things that He's called us to do? So it was funny because during our conversation this week, some of you were here a couple weeks ago and we presented a plan that the designer had given us, the architect had given us, for how maybe we can use the property to fulfill what God has called us to and the unique design that He has upon our church. And so it was funny because in the finance team, we kind of came together and there's all these people that had come to different members of the finance team and in the hallways and the parking lot, maybe over the phone and asking, well, how are we going to do this? What about this? Who's going to pay for that? How much is this going to be? And you know what? And here's the simple answer. The simple answer to all those questions at this point is you're asking the wrong questions. The wrong questions are being asked. Because really, all of those how to and wherefore and who what, where, when, and how, all of those things are going to be answered in time. But the first question, the first thing that we need to do is to ask God what His plans are. We can't do anything until we meet with God and ask what His plans are. And as we're doing that and we're walking through this process of meeting with God, we're doing our due diligence and trying to understand all the variables and all of the things that are going to have to come together to make a situation like this work. And we're in the process of doing that. And so as we kind of formulate this process and leads us into a plan, we're working through those things. But the first thing that all of us, every one of us, need to do right now is to pray to God about His plans for us and for us as a church. And as we pray about that, then we begin to ask God and help us to discover how You want me to participate in this plan. And then we'll, at the right time, we'll obey. We'll walk in that way. Whatever way God leads us, we'll walk in that way, trusting that His leading will lead to His glory. Because that's why we do what we do, for His glory, right? And so these are the things that, in a very practical way, we can practice together as a church as we lead. But the thing that we need to understand is that we need to meet with Him and talk with Him, and He lead us in the way that He wants us to go. But you know, here's what I know, and you'll probably agree with this. Whenever we're walking with God and walking in a way that we're growing as a disciple, we'll begin to understand that everything that happens in our lives and the way that we manage His resources, it's not for our glory. It's for His glory. It's for His glory. And that's what He says in this passage. Point number three is God is generous to us so that we can be generous to others so He gets the glory. He's not generous to us for our own benefit. Maybe we miss that in the verses here a little bit because some of us come and we try to say we're doing the right things, we're saying the right things, we're not doing the wrong things, right? And as we do the right things and not do the wrong things, we think that there's some way that God's going to bless us and cause a blessing in our lives. And we start to look inward about, hey, maybe God's not blessing me like I thought He was going to bless me. And so there's people that have an incorrect understanding of this. And because they're walking in this way and they're not experiencing what they feel they should have, they end up walking away from the church. They walk away from God. They say, well, if I'm not going to get what I want from this, then it's not worth it. Perhaps maybe you've had that thought from one time to another too. Maybe church life has gotten difficult or gotten hard in some way. Maybe things didn't quite work out the way that you thought they should. That you've given your time, your attention, your talents, your treasure, you've given things and tried to do the best and just didn't seem to give you the return that you were looking for. But we always have to understand it's not about our convenience, comfort, or our success, our prosperity. All of this has to do with God's glory. And so God blesses us so that we can bless others so He gets the glory. And if we're going to walk in a way, are you listening? Are you listening? This is important. If we're going to walk in a way as managers of His resources, and we're going to walk in a way to shine the spotlight on us rather than the spotlight on Him, why would He bless you? Now, God does anyway. He wants us to walk with Him so He gets the glory. And everything about what we do and how we live, the decisions we make, the way that we use His resources and deploy His resources are for His glory and His honor. Verse 8, let's read the rest of the chapter. Verse 8 says, and God is able, I love that word, able. You know what this word is? It's the Greek word that we get dynamite from. God is able. Man, He's got some power, some strength. I mean, explosive power and strength. He's able to make all grace. You know what grace is? It's another word for favor. He's able, He has the energy, He has the wherewithal to make all of His favor abound, overflow, just absolutely, exceedingly, abundantly beyond all that you could ever ask or imagine toward you. So Paul says that to the Corinthian church, and he's saying to us today that God is able to do this. He's able, He's faithful, He'll walk in this way, but here's the reason, and here's what we need to not miss in this point, that He's able to make all grace abound toward us so that having all sufficiency, all of our needs met, had coming to a place in life that you and I have nothing that we're wanting. We're completely content and completely satisfied with where we are in life, where there's nothing lacking. This is the place, and in that place, in Christ, when we get there, in Christ, that we're not, there's nothing that we're lacking, and we don't have any need that isn't met. In Christ, in all things, at all times, here's why. So that you may abound in every good work. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about allowing God to do those blessings that He bestows upon us, the time, the treasure, and the talent that He bestows upon us, to be able to use that, to deploy that into every good work, to be able to give that away. Blessings that God gives us aren't for our consumption. They're for us to give away. And in giving away, there is experience of blessing that we get through that process. We continue to read in verse 9, talking about God. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His endures forever. Verse 10. He who supplies the seed to the sower. Who's the sower? He who supplies the seed to the sower, right? And bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. That doesn't mean increase the harvest of your bank account. It doesn't mean increase the harvest of anything that's going to shine the spotlight on you in your righteousness. It means your activity, your life of following God, of applying His word to your life. This is what is accomplished in this way as we walk with the Lord. He is able to do all of this and will do this. But it's meant for the benefit of others, not necessarily for our benefit. Now, in the process, we do get some benefit from it. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. Not an amen. You will be enriched in every way. I love that word enriched. It's empowered. It's given every resource necessary. God will give us every resource necessary in every way to be generous in every way. To give away in every way, to be generous. Which through us, don't miss this, will produce thanksgiving to God. There it is. There's the reason. That's the reason that we're even here, that other people would know God and would be able to understand Him and His blessings and thereby give Him praise, honor, and glory through thanksgivings to God. Verse 12. Verse 12 says, for the ministry, and he goes back to talking about this offering, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing. This is the same word that abound was in verse 8. Overflowing, overwhelming, exceedingly abundant, above all that we could ever ask or imagine, that he's not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. This is our lives. This is what we're here for. This is what we do as managers and stewards of his resources. It's so that he can get the glory and he can get the honor through everything that happens in our lives, through our lives, and to us. And as we live our lives in that way, as we manage in that way, he's getting the glory, but we're still experiencing benefit from it. God is, as he's changed us, he's using us to be a benefit and a blessing to the world around us. Verse 13, by their approval, by those that we minister to, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your righteousness, because of your submission that comes from the confession of the gospel of Christ. It always comes back to the gospel. It always comes back to our walk with the Lord, to the gospel. So God's going to get all the praise, all the glory, all the thanksgiving, but by their approval, they will glorify God because of why? Because of the work of the gospel in your life. That as we submit it to God and his ways and his work in our lives, our confession of Jesus Christ, he gets the glory. Verse 14, and the generosity of our contribution for them and for all others. And I love verse 15. Verse 4, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God. They're thanking God, but they're also thanking the people who gave in the offering. They're praising God, but they're thanking God for you, and they're bestowing praise, and they're bestowing thankfulness to the generosity that his followers have given. And so there's a reciprocity here. As we give, we are given too. As we are thankful, there's others that will be thankful in the same process. But all glory goes to God. And it all points back to the gospel. Verse 15. Thanks be to God for in his inexpressible gift. I love that word, inexpressible. Do you know what God's inexpressible gift is? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The model of all generosity for us to follow. That's why this idea of talking about the tithe is ludicrous, in my opinion. Because 10%, Jesus didn't give 10% and model 10% giving. Jesus gave it all. And as followers of Jesus Christ, this is what we're commanded to do as well, to give all. That it's all his anyway. We are all his once we've been forgiven of our sins and he is the Lord of our life. And so as we live our lives in this way and we live managing his resources, faithful to the things that he's called us to, he gets all the glory, all the praise, all the honor for his generosity to us. And as he's shown generosity to us, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God was so generous, he gave that which was most precious to him. As we apply faith to that transaction, that God gave his one and only son on the cross, that we apply our faith, we believe that what he did on the cross, we apply it to ourselves. That he paid the price for ourselves. We receive forgiveness of our sin. That relationship has been restored with God. And then we're free, not to live as the world does, but free to follow Christ and to live according to his teachings. And if we do, glorify God in all things. And so if we're managing his resources in such a way that we're worried about our own comfort or our own, notoriety, our own fame, if there's greed or covetousness, if there's these things that we know that are not true to following God, then we have to evaluate that. We have to understand that that's a red flag warning. We got to understand that something's not right in our hearts. But as we manage his resources and our concern is his kingdom, not ours, and our concern is his way and not ours, then we understand that we're walking with him faithfully and that he gets all the glory. That's when we know we're doing some things right. That's when we know we're making right decisions and our focus is in the right direction. That he gets all the glory and all the honor. And in the process, he continues to bless and continues to prosper, continues to bless. Let's meet with him. Let's you and I plan on meeting with him, asking about his plans and priority, asking how he wants us to participate in those plans, obeying his leading, and then trusting. And as we do, we understand that the three principles I want to share with you before we leave. Number one, we have to sow bountifully. To be like Christ, we've got to sow bountifully. We've got to sow with abandon. We've got to let as much seed out there as we can. What's the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God. We understand from the parable of the sower and the seed that as we live according to the Word, the seed is planted in our hearts and it continues to grow and harvest even in our own hearts. But we live in such a way that we're planting and sowing this seed, expecting this great harvest that will glorify God. And so we sow bountifully. We give bountifully. Number two, we pray before giving. Don't make the mistake. Don't make the mistake of trying to solve your own problems, of trying to think about how we're going to do all of these things in our own way, in our own power. That's not the design of this. Our mission is to walk obediently to God and His will. He gets the glory for that. Have you ever thought about this? If you're praying for problems that you can fix on your own, then how does that glorify God? But if we're praying in such a way that only God can answer our prayers, He gets the glory. He gets the glory. And so we pray before giving. Number three, we give for God's glory. We walk in such a way that we give of our time for God's glory. If you're serving in this church, now go ahead and turn the recorder off. I'm just kidding. Okay. So if you're serving in this church and you're serving out of a spirit of obligation, or if you're reluctant when you come and serve, one of two things needs to happen. Number one, you need to meet with God and do some business, do some evaluation, should you be serving in that way, because that's not the right attitude that you should have coming to serve on behalf of God. So if you're serving in a way out of reluctance or out of obligation, then meet with God or quit. Because neither one is going to give glory to God. The only way that we can give of our time and our talents is after we met with God, to be obedient and to trust God that through our measly gifts and talents and time that He'll be able to do something with our offering. That's the way that we should be a cheerful giver, even of our time and our talent, and then comes treasure. I don't need to spend any more time talking about that. You guys are mature followers of Jesus Christ, many of you. And so this becomes an area of opportunity. Lives that we can easily look to say, okay, God, how am I doing in these areas that you've called me to? And we examine our heart and the attitudes of our heart. If they're healthy and they're showing good fruit, then we're doing okay. But if they're not, then something's wrong in the heart. We better meet with God and we better repent and follow His plans for our life. Father, I thank you for today and I thank you for the Word that you've given us today. Father, we know that as we walk with you, that you have made promises to us in this area of opportunity of sowing and reaping, experiencing a blessing, expecting a harvest. Father, many times in our own way, in the ways that we've walked, we've kind of offended you in this way. That we've tried to operate in our own power, that we haven't prayed with you and met with you and asking how you want us to spend our time, our talent, and participate in your plans with our treasure. We've come out of a rote obligation. Maybe we're just used to walking in a certain way and we're just kind of going through the motions. Well, Father, that's not how you've called us to walk as a disciple. In this year of discipleship, Lord, you've called us to walk in a way that's true. In a way that would honor you and glorify you in every step, in every breath. Father, as we do that, we would understand that it's all about you and your glory. It's not about us. But sometimes we've made our offering to you about us, about our own plans, about our own comfort or convenience. And Father, I ask on behalf of my brothers and sisters that you forgive us for that. That when we've made our discipleship, we've made our journey, this life, about anything other than you and your glory, we've messed up. And Lord, we need to fess up. Lord, I pray today that you would forgive us. You would forgive us for having a wrong focus in life. Father, if there's any here today that haven't trusted you as their Savior, that haven't come to a point in time where they've made sure that their eternal home is heaven by admitting that they're a sinner. Father, we're all sinners and we don't need much convincing of that, but that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. Because of that sin, we've been separated from you, and there's nothing that we can do in our own power to restore that relationship, but that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty of that sin, so that we could, by faith, have a restored relationship with you. Father, that's the most important decision any of us can make, even today. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to examine our hearts, and if you are not a resident there, if you have not taken up permanent residence, if you have not become the Lord of our lives, Father, that you would help us today. You would help us today to submit to your will, to your way for our life, once and for all. That we would stop trying to do things our way, in our power, in our design, that we would surrender to you and start to follow you. Father, for those of us that are here today that we're concerned about the things that are going on today and the things in the future, Lord, that you would help us to understand your plans for today, for us today. That you would help us to understand how to participate in those plans. And even though some of the seeds that are sown today, that you use us, that we may not even be here to see those seeds come to fruition and harvest in the future, but that you are faithful. And you will help us in faith. Father, we love you. As we close our service today, we're going to close in a hymn of invitation. The altar steps are open for prayer. I'll be up here to pray if you need to pray. Today, if today's the first day that you've understood that you need Jesus as your Savior, you've tried to do it your way and it's not working, and today's the day that you say, I need to submit and say, God, it's your way only. And I want to know, and I want to help you get started in this faith journey. Today, if you need a church to join, like one in our first service, then I'd like to talk to you about church membership. Whatever the Lord's doing in your heart today, let's allow Him to linger for a minute or two as we stand and sing together.